Yeah, this is Chill Rob G, and you are listening to The Odd Man on Down With The King, Maximum FM Hip Hop.
Turn up the bass!
You're listening to Down With The Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
What's going on? It's The Odd Man back, and you've got it locked down with the Kings, and I'm pleased to be joined by an MC back in the day. Was definitely doing his thing, making a whole lot of noise. I'm talking about none other than my man, Chill Rob G. Rob, what's happening, my man?
What's good, brother? How are you, man?
I'm great. Listen, I appreciate you taking the time and hanging out with us. Definitely is an honor to chop it up with you today, man.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. You know what I mean? I'm glad to be on the show. You know what I mean? I'm down with the Kings.
There you go. Well, yeah, you know, when you think about sort of hip-hop from back in the day and all that's gone on and the history of it, you certainly had a part to play and a role in that, in the development, especially from an underground standpoint. Did you sort of see yourself as an underground artist, so to speak, or how did you view your when you look at your, when you think back to your career, how do you view this?
Yeah, I was definitely underground, you know what I mean? And I was kind of glad of that. I was proud of that for a minute. I felt like, you know, I took on the mindset that my stuff was just too raw for the daytime radio, and that's why they don't play me in the day, you know. And I got real hype about it, man. I was glad they wasn't playing me in the day. And then I got that record that they started playing all day every day, so I had to change up a little bit.
Let's talk about that record since you brought it up, because first off, that's something that I don't think has ever happened in the music industry to that large degree. Obviously, you know, samples take place and people sample whatever, but this is on a whole other level. How did that happen?
From my understanding, there's a couple of guys in Germany who consider themselves to be DJs. And, you know, they wanted to make a record, so they started messing around with my stuff. They have my record in there, Let the Words Flow. They had that single, and on that vinyl single, we had the acapella, the instrumental, and of course, you know, the radio edit and the club version of the record. So everything was there for them to, you know, pick apart and choose whatever they wanted to do. So they mixed up a nice little cocktail out of me, Jocelyn Brown, and some Mantronics beat, and they came up with the song called I Got the Power. All right, so now the song, you know, it's hot. They loving it in the basement where they made it at. They thought it was really banging, and they wanted to get it on the air. So what they did, they started playing it in clubs. I mean, because they was DJs, and I guess they was popular enough to, you know, hand that stuff to a club DJ. And, you know, that record was crazy anyway. So the club DJ had a new joint to spin. And, you know, it started taking off. People was requesting it on the radio. They wanted to hear it. So eventually it came to the attention of somebody in Europe at Arista Records. And in Europe, Arista Records is called Ariola Records. So Arista decided that they wanted to press the record up and put it out. Now, this is an artist who's already signed to a label in the U.S. They know that. But there's money on the table. They also know that. So they don't really care about the artist in the U.S. They just want to put this thing out. So they had this guy who was stationed at an army base, I think, in Germany. And he was telling everybody that he could rap and he used to be down with Big Daddy Kane and blah, 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 blah. So they got the guy to come in. And, you know, after a couple of weeks, actually, of performing the record with just my vocals on it, I mean, originally what he was doing was he was going around doing the shows and doing my vocals. You know what I mean? He was just lip syncing like Milli Vanilli. And, you know, and the interesting thing that is that Milli Vanilli was also on Arista Records. So whoever was in charge of Arista Records back then, man, they had some balls, man. It was like, yo, we're just going to do it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they had the guy running around lip-syncing my joint, and then when they decided it was time to go ahead to press it up, and they realized that by that time, we were already performing the record in the U.S. It was real shady the way the record came to my attention. I walked up to, I got a call from my man, Africa Baby Van from the Jungle Brothers. They were on tour in Europe, They was on tour, and he saw the guy performing. And he caught the guy on stage, so he called me up, and he said, like, yo, Rob, I was at the show. He out here in Germany, I was at the show, you know, the other night, and I saw this dude on stage doing your record, but he's doing, like, a remix of it. So Africa was the first person who heard it and brought it to my attention.
Right.
So I'm like,
now this,
so,
and this has been going on for how long now that he's been performing this?
I would guess it had to be at least a month, you know what I'm saying, because it was like people in the club was like, you know, really into it, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't like they was hearing something new, and this guy is on stage performing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so you don't get to that performance stage until you already got the record hot and it's already a buzz.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right? So now the dude is on stage, he's performing. So Africa, yeah, he called me up, he pulled my coat to that same day, because he called me like early in the morning. So that same day, I went over to Wild Pitch, you know, to the label, and I'm like, yo, there's a guy in Europe, and I'm being told that this guy's like, you know, he's plagiarizing my joint, and we need to do something about it. So I go over there to talk that junk, but when I walk in the door, they handed me a copy of the vinyl. They had a nice little, you know, a record pressed up with some crazy looking artwork on the cover. Some dude was transforming. It was like, I have the power. It looked crazy. You know, it was dope. And, yeah, that was the record. And it had a little funky note on it, and the note said something like, Stu, you need to check this out, anonymous. That just looked ridiculous to me. That just looked so shady. Like, come on, man. This is game right here. You know what I mean? But so I went with it. You know, the record was hot. That was the first time I heard it. They played it for me up at the label that day. And Stu was like, you know, do you want to put it out? Stu Fine is the guy he's the president of Wild Pitch. And he's like, well, I think we should put it out. I said, well, yeah, well, let's put it out. You know, now this is a dance record. You know, and all of my stuff on my album is not really dance music. You know what I mean? I was like an underground rapper, and I was really happy to be that. But now we got this dance record. So I said, okay, let's do the dance record, put it out. So we put that thing out, and, you know, wow, boom. It went crazy. And then 2 months I'm sorry.
I was thinking, were you thinking by putting it out that was an opportunity because it was a dance record to kind of get, like, exposure in that way? Is that what the methodology was?
A little bit. In the back of my mind, I was like, you know, the club head might like this. You know what I mean? It might be all right in the club. Because, you know, I'm from Jersey, so I know a little something about club music and house music, because that's the only thing that they was really listening to over here. Me, I used to go to the club. We had a few really popular, you know, house clubs out here. And I had this really crazy radio. And as a matter of fact, LL Cool J tagged a picture of my radio on his album cover. I had that radio. And I used to take that radio and with my cassettes, and I would go to the clubs, and at 5 o'clock in the morning when people were coming out, I would be standing across the street blasting like KRS-One and whoever else was hot right then. I'm blasting it at them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is what you should be doing. But, you know, yeah, man, I thought it might be good for the club head. You know, I didn't think it was going to be. I didn't know. I had no clue what I was really dealing with, man. So, yeah, you know, that's kind of how that worked out.
Wow. Fast forward a bit. I mean, now the song is getting play, is getting attention. You're now getting attention because, you know, you Let the Word Flow, as you said, is an underground track. Now all of a sudden people are like, oh, there's this guy, there's this song. Were you starting to sense that popularity? What were you getting?
You know, my core fans, I think, like, the people who was going to come to a Chill Wop G show no matter what, it was really hype about it because they felt like, yes, see, I told you. You know what I mean? So, but then for other people, like, they never, I don't think I got a lot of fans who transferred over. Like, they heard I Got the Power, and then they went and picked up my album now. A few did, but not as many as maybe I wanted. Because I didn't have a lot of stuff like that on the album. You know, that album was, it was hip-hop, man. It was you know, more like a Wu-Tang record, you know what I mean?
And I'm guessing now there's a risk where people are thinking that it wasn't your song to begin with. Like the pop group, you know, those that don't know the pop, like I remember vividly when the first time I heard, I'm like, oh, I Got the Power, Chill Rob G, that song is banging. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, fast forward a little bit, I'm with some friends who are not really in the underground scene, and they're telling me Snap. I'm like, that's not Snap. That's Chill Rob G. What are you talking about? And we're having a debate over who's, you know, who released the song first almost. Did you find that you had to tell people, no, actually, I released the song first?
Oh, man, that just got to be the most annoying question like who released the song first, and I'm like, wow, you know, because at that point I think I was already in the game for about 4 or 5 years, so I've been touring and all of that, and I got all these records already, and you're asking me if I bit somebody else's record? You know, that was ridiculous. And then, and what else was it? It was like, it wasn't a brand new lyric. These lyrics came directly from the album. They took my song.
Yeah.
They took the song Let the Words Flow and basically chopped it up and remixed it and put it back out as I Got the Power. So if you want to know whether or not I stole his stuff, just go and listen to the album that was released maybe 2 years before this stuff ever even happened. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. No, that's exactly right. I can see where that would get annoying, Rob. You know, like almost you defend yourself. You're like, nah, that's mine. You got it all wrong.
Dude, and I was so proud of my lyrical ability, you know what I mean? I got skills, and I know that, right? So then now you come in and asking me if I bit from this man? Did you listen to that dude? You're asking me if I bit his stuff?
Right.
It was crazy, man. It was really crazy, man.
You know, when we talk about your style, I mean, certainly one thing, your lyrical style, it could tell, as a listener, I could tell it was very much thought out. Like, you put a lot, I could tell that you put a lot of time in your writing and your rhymes. Is that accurate to say?
You know what, man? I was talking about this the other day. I was basically in a shark tank with a whole lot of other hungry sharks. Because I was down with the Flavor Unit, and every time you walked into Mark's basement, it was Rakim, you know, Rakim Shabazz, it was Apache, it was Double J, and even though these guys didn't put out really popular records, a lot of, you know, popular music, I mean, I wish we could have just recorded the stuff. We had the foresight to just even videotape the stuff we used to be doing in that basement almost every single day. I mean, there's a quote in the Bible that's so true about it, man. They say, iron sharpens iron. And man, listen, if you don't get right coming in here, right, you're a writer, you write rhymes, if you come in here every day, you're going to be better inside of 1 week.
Right?
Because you're not going to come in here spitting on whack, because we're going to chop you right up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what it was.
And there's a certain pride to it as an MC when you get in front of your peers and you spit your stuff. Now you want to become hardcore and correct kind of deal. And, you know, the sense I've always gotten, and, you know, I think real MCs will tell you, will let you know, yeah, you can't bring that, man. Go back to the drawing board.
Oh, yeah, no question. And plus, you know, we was all kind of, we friends. I knew Apache and them from high school. Apache and Lati and myself, we went to high school together. Rakim was like a new guy to me, but, you know, they knew Latifah, and Ramsey was a guy who kind of brought everything together. So, you know, everybody was friends, you know, we really wanted to, like, boost each other up. So if you came in there whack, it wasn't like we're going to tell you whack, get out of here. It's like, yo, man, you know, you probably could do better than that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's how we did it, man. And plus, it, deep down, you know, on the low, there was just a competition anyway. You just wanted to be better.
Of course.
You just wanted to be better. Because we rappers, and that's what we do. That's what we do.
Right. Well, when you talk about the Flavor Unit, I mean, there have been sort of quote unquote some legendary crews out there, but you know, Flavor Unit had to be one of the early ones that when you talk about the collection of talent, then it evolved over the years and added more members, and it really stood as a sign of greatness in terms of emceeing and music and DJing. It really was, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we took it pretty seriously, man. We used to analyze it. We would sit around and listen to whoever had the newest record, and somebody would have it and bring it in, you know, in the Mars basement, and we would focus on, and we would listen to it. You know what I mean? And we would critique it. I mean, we would go over it with a fine-tooth comb and pick out what was dope and what wasn't dope. You know what I mean? And doing that, you make yourself better because you recognize what we all agree is hot and not hot, man. And that's
it. Gotcha. Well, and you said iron sharpens iron, right? So, you know, that's a perfect avenue to be in. You mentioned Queen Latifah. How proud are you of her when you look at where she's at now and how much she's done for herself?
Oh, man.
Early days you were there.
Man, listen, you know, when I think about Latifah, I remember when at one point she went into, she was signed to Tommy Boy. And, you know, Latifah, she's a bit of a tomboy anyway, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
her style was like sweatpants, and you know, she used to play ball with us and all of that. So we her and Shaquem went into Tommy Boy, and Monica Lynch was the person who was basically calling all the shots at the Tommy Boy at that point. And they really sat her down in a meeting and let her know that she had a shot at real stardom, at becoming who she is right now. And she took that to heart. She took that to heart. She took it really seriously. And she worked on, you know, her rhyme talent was already there. She could do that. But she worked on her overall image. And just to watch her bloom. I mean, she always was who you see. She always used to come in doing funny voices, funny faces, all of that stuff that you see her doing with the acting, man. We seen that all the time, every day. So I guess it's a pleasure to see that everybody else sees what we saw and agrees with us that, like, yeah, this chick was, you know, is dope, man.
Right. No, I totally can see the especially the pride in that, because it's someone that you know, and you know, and the one thing I've always appreciated about her, and I've never met her myself personally, but certainly you feel like you know her because she's kept it so real.
Yeah. Well, that's who she is. There's no other way to be, you know what I mean? You got to do what you do. And that's it.
No doubt. You know, Chill, we were talking about that, you know, that song, you know, The Words Flow, and I think maybe this is a great opportunity to give our listeners a chance to hear that. Those that may not know, those that think Snap and I Got the Power was the first, let them hear the song that came out before that. So let's take a pause in the convo. We're going to jump to this track and be right back. Down with the Kings presents you, Let the Word Flow by Chill Rob G.
I'm dope, face it, shoot it, freebase it, pour it in a glass, drink it, chase it, then chill, flex, feel the full effect. The impact is similar to a train wreck. It's whack to me when the beat is more hype than the MC, cause what he's saying is empty, dull void without substance or content. You need to slow your speed, stop the nonsense. These are the words of the rising sun, surprising some who thought I was just another humdrum, average type non-MC who found a mic and thought he was hype. Nah, that's not me. I'll take a page, write a phrase and rephrase it, treat it like a national flag and upraise it, so a nation of people can feel proud about a brother who speaks out real loud. I'm here to rock the show, clock the dough, and let the words flow, flow, flow. Enough tough talk, as a hunter I must stalk. So each day I pray on dunks that like to play, laying games to frame the self-same truth that got him off the stoop and helped him to recoup. Stone cold backbiters, bull-whack rhyme writers, give you a little party and now you don't know nobody. Diabolical fools pursuing happiness, lacking finesse, I'm left unimpressed. I heard you rhyme a few times, each time you blew it. You're soft, you can't go off, I knew it. Let's be realistic, I'm not egotistic, but you grew just not that artistic. Point blank, your song is spent. Yo, I know you want the truth, so let's be frank. I mean, I'm starting this hard, not known for being subtle. Patiently, I listen to all types of rebuttal. Don't say this, don't say that, change your lyrics. Everybody's a critic, it's getting kinda hectic. My rhyme is authentic, so it shall remain. My writing, exciting, never mundane. In actuality, my personality keeps my mentality based on real life situations, not speculations, but verbal illustrations of how I feel. You have the audacity to doubt my veracity, or to insinuate the G will prevaricate. Your disposition is beyond my recognition. I fail to see the reason for your constant disbelief, and why should I lie? What would I gain? Nothing. So when I speak, yo, I don't be bluffing, I be puffing on high power sets once. I don't try to front or back away from a challenge. I'm game. You suckers rhyming sound like your lips are lame. You seem to need therapy for your speech impediment. Take this advice because it's for your own benefit. I'm energetic, magnetic, and athletic. One more thing, and it's called poetic. A thousand orthodox, but of course it rocks. And when it comes to styles, I'm overstocked. You might never get to hear my last rhyme, cause I've been writing since you heard me last time. I could go on, the G is strong. I rock the show, I clock the dough, and let the words flow, flow, flow. We'll be right back.
back we are, down with the King of the Odd Man. Chill, Rob G in the house. You just heard Let the Word Flow. And again, we talked earlier, Rob, about all the controversy with that song up front. When you hear it now, I always wondered as artists, the pride in their music. Like, so when you hear your stuff now, do you still have that same sense of pride? Well, here's what I put out, and you know, still sound the way I wanted it to.
Not really. You know what? I mean, I felt good about my music. I don't know if it was so much in sense, but I just wanted to know. I think I even said it in one of those bars there. Like, I wanted that music to be good enough to be played. I recorded Let the Words Flow back in like 88 or 89. And so if that you just played it just now in 2015, that's everything I wanted, man. And I hope that in 2035 somebody plays it, and then, you know, if they don't blow up the planet, maybe in 2162 somebody will play that record, and somebody will get up and say, yo, that's dope. That's all I want, man.
And you know, we talk about timeless classics and timeless, you know, tracks and records and things that, you know, will almost bring it back. You know, I think that's the status you want to reach to as an artist. You want to have something that's timeless, a trendsetter.
Yeah.
Generation.
Right. That better can stick around, you know what I mean?
That's it.
Better can stick around, that is still dope, that you don't just make something that's only hot for 5 minutes, you know what I mean?
Right. And you know what? And to bring it to, you know, the current up-to-date music, we see a lot of that. And I don't want to use this as an opportunity to bash hip-hop today, obviously, because, you know, it's different now than back in the day. But certainly, I think that's one of the big differences, that you hear music that it doesn't have the opportunity to be timeless, because it all kind of sounds very similar, or the artists sound very similar to one another.
Yeah, man, we was talking about Lil Wayne and what's the dude he beefing with right now? Young Money, Young Thug, right? And how similar they sound. And it's like Young Thug is just trying to replace Lil Wayne in some way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, because you're doing his style, you sound like him. You know, that's not cool, man. We used to call that fighting. Like, that was something to avoid.
Right.
But I don't get it. You know, that's what they're doing. So, and they're making a lot of money doing it. So who am I to talk about it? Who am I to judge?
Sure. Well, the interesting thing for me is that I think that, and you certainly can speak to this, is that, you know, there are a lot of artists back in the day that put a lot of time and energy and effort to make sure they sounded unique, to make sure they were different, to make sure they, you know, they didn't sound like someone else. But that doesn't seem to matter no more. Like, you know.
Nah, there was a lot of variety, man. We had. Public Enemy, we had, you know, Ghetto Boys, we had KRS-One, we had De La Soul, we had Tribe Called Quest. There's a lot of variety. People was rapping differently. They was talking about different stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now,
right.
Basically, we're talking about sex, money, and drugs.
Right.
Basically, that's it. More or less. Now, I don't want to disregard artists like J. Cole, you know what I'm saying, and Kendrick, and you know, these dudes who are trying to, you know, make sure that they stay in their own lane and coming at you unique. So, but the majority of the artists, like the 6 or 7 artists that you hear in heavy rotation on some of these so-called rap shows, I mean, you know, it's the same stuff all day, every day.
Right. And again, you know, when you ran through a list of the artists back in the day, you can have them all on one card, if you will, one show, and
right.
The diversity in hip hop was just absolutely incredible, and it all sounded good. They all sounded their own. They had their own sound and style, and the diversity was just incredible.
Yeah, I guess you had a full plate when you listened to rap back in the day. There was a lot of different stuff on there. You know what I mean? Now, more or less, you're going in one direction, and that's that.
Got you. So in terms of where you saw yourself fitting back in the day, it was interesting because I thought you had elements of consciousness to your music. There was, you know, there was some fun, you know, in terms of your style, but it was still that hard, edgy hip hop as well. Where did you see yourself in all that?
I kind of saw myself as the, maybe I was like I was the radical militant dude who you was listening to. You was catching me outside the meeting. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just had the rally. We just had the pro-black rally. It's over, and now we outside, and I'm just kicking it with you. And that's what it is. You know what I mean? I'm into all kinds of things. It's not just that. Yes, that is important, but then also, look at these chicks over here and like that blunt. And, you know, life in general.
I was going to say, I was a big fan of the video you just recorded is now in session because you're certainly dropping knowledge in a very for Chill Rob G style. You want to sort of talk about the development of that particular concept in that video?
The concept of the video, I got to confess, it pretty much came from the guy at Time Shift Studios. That was the dude that shot the video, and he sent the treatment to us, and it was like he was reading my mind. He listened to the song, and you could tell that he listened to the song and that it influenced him, and that he wanted to do a video surrounding it. I mean, because sometimes you see a video and it really has nothing to do. I mean, artists take a different approach to videos. It depends on what your song is about. Some artists want it to be literally, when I say, and I picked up the gun and shot him, I'm going to pick up his gun, and I'm going, you know. But then other times you want everything to be a metaphor, you know what I mean? So you might say, I pick up the gun and shot him, and then you hand somebody a rose. You know, you show that in the video. Who knows? So, I mean, different stuff goes on during the video concept. And I think Quarters in Session was almost a mixture of that. There's a scene where, you know, I'm talking about the police, you know, messing with me, and then there's a scene where I'm getting arrested and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I had a lot of fun with that. Was that the first video I shot? I think Quarters in Session was the first video I shot. Yes, it was.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. No, I get another track that I enjoy listening to as well. After that era, you sort of disappeared from the scene for a little bit. You want to talk about what was happening for you in that time?
Oh, man, personal life was just out of control, man. Things were just skidding out of control. And I'll tell you what helped to do it was this controversy with the Snap. I mean, I'm supposed to be going in the studio to do my second album. I'm hearing a lot of heat, you know, from different people, like, yo, man, you got to get in the studio right now because Snap is this and that and other thing. So I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. But in the midst of doing that, I'm like, I'm having problems with the label because, you know, I don't want to just keep going and recording music and handing it to the label and I'm not getting paid for it, man. That's not me.
Right.
I'm not a slave, man. You know, I expect to eat for this. And the problem with it, I mean, for years, before I ever heard of Stu Final, before I ever really thought that I could make a record, I was rapping for free. And because I love to do it. And so because I love to do it, you know, I'm going to do it for free. But now, you know, I need to be paid for it. I have a contract. You know what I'm saying? I'm professional here. People are watching. You know, I'm in the show. I need to eat too. I'm on tour with, I think Big Daddy Kane had a new album out. So I was on tour with Kane. I couldn't even get my own tour bus. I needed the label to help me out with a tour bus. I mean, it was crazy, man, like the way things was working. I mean, here I am with like the number one record in the country, you know what I mean? But the pockets was not showing that, you know what I mean? I was making money from the shows, yes, but I was not eating from the retail, and that was a problem for me. I was really having an issue with that. But when we went in to renegotiate, with the label, they was not offering anything. I mean, the offer that they threw at me was a slap in the face. Considering that I saw, you know, like I said, I was down with the Flavor Unit, and I saw what, you know, some of my teammates was being offered for their first project. And now, so here I am, a proven artist with an album on your label, making you some money, and you throwing me peanuts. And, you know, that was disgusting, man. So I was I couldn't move forward with that.
I heard you once say that was, you know, one of the worst record deals that you think in the history of record deals, the one you did.
Oh, man, yeah, it was horrible, man. It was horrible. I think, you know, and I mean, I guess my arrogance at the time I signed that, I thought, you know what, this is not a good deal, but I'm going to be so good that they are going to be willing to renegotiate and give me what I deserve.
Right.
But no, that's not what it was. That's not what it was. They was willing to renegotiate only because I wasn't going to go back in the studio under this deal, but give you what you deserve? That's not going to happen.
Not if we can avoid it.
So, yeah.
And I mean, and Wild Pitch at that time, which artists? I know over time, they had, you know, artists like The Source and Finesse and Gangstar was on that as well.
Wild Pitch had some really... Ralph has some great artists, man. Main Source was in there at the same time I was. OC, I was still under contract when OC was there. And when Gangstar's first release was on Wild Pitch. And you know what? I thought about doing what Keith and them did. I mean, they actually had some thugs rolling the label and threatening this dude and all of that, man. And I was going to go that route too, but I mean, the people that I knew, I couldn't control them. So if I send these beasts in there, man, to get at you, I don't know what really might happen. Because they was a little wild and crazy, man. So I kept my hands off of that, man. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I had some people who really wanted to come and talk to this guy, man. You know? Yeah, it was crazy.
Necessary. Literally.
Definitely.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it's incredible. Certainly, talk what you're up to these days, because you're still part of the industry now, but maybe on a different level of producing standpoint, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. I've got some artists that I'm working with. I got a couple of singers that I'm working with. I got a label that I'm trying to push forward. Sony. Sony has a Red division, and I got a little deal in the works with them. Hopefully I can get some stuff released soon under that deal. I got some stuff that I'm working on myself. You know, I mean, I still write, not as often as I used to, but I still write, you know, lyrics. I'm actually supposed to be in the studio this weekend, you know, and hopefully I get something hot out of that. I mean, you know, I still think I know what sounds good, man, so we'll see if I'm right or wrong.
No doubt. Well, you know, it'll be interesting now because obviously the industry and how you make music and how you release music and how you market it, it's so different. You know, social media now is really what runs things. And if you're hot on social media, it doesn't matter how good you are. You just got, you know, whether it's your followers, your likes, people are down with you.
That is definitely one avenue to go. I mean, I like the way it is now because control has been taken away from the label. Like back then, if you didn't have the label moving you, nothing was happening for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but now we don't need them anymore. We don't have to wait for them to do anything. If you got the bread, you can shoot your video and put the video out, which is something else I'm going to be doing pretty soon. I got a song, almost forgot. I did a song with my man R.A. the Rugged Man, and we're going to be releasing that video pretty soon. I got an EP that I did. It's been so long. I mean, this EP might sound dated. It's going to sound dated to me. But I think we finished that EP at least a year ago, and I recorded it with, you know, I got the production from a couple of dudes in the UK. They called it some Bankrupt Europeans. So, you know, that's coming out pretty soon. And, yeah, man, you know, I just keep it moving, man, you know?
Nice.
I'm like you said, I'm still in the industry, but maybe I'm not all the way in it. I feel like I'm like a guy at the swimming pool, and I'm sitting at the edge of the pool with my feet in the water, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at right now.
Don't wait. And that's a cool place to be, because if you feel like jumping in, you can.
If I feel like jumping in, man, I'm jumping in. That's what it is.
Well, Rob, man, we look forward to keeping our eyes and ears on what, you know, what you produce and what you come out with, because certainly, you know, you had your impact and you're on Down with the Kings when we talk about, you know, the Kings from back in the day. You definitely are on that list. Hey, I forgot to mention, you know, your album was made the Source one top 100, which is a pretty big deal back in the day when you looked. When you look at the artists that were on that list and to this day, very, very relevant, that's some exclusive company, man.
Yeah. I was really happy to see that. I mean, you know, because I'm a guy, I mean, I got to confess, man, you know, I felt kind of bad that during my career, a lot of times, I thought I should have been mentioned or I should have been included, and I wasn't. So every time, anytime somebody says, "Hey, Chill Rob G, blah, blah, blah," in a public forum, I'm like, yes, they know. You know what I'm saying? I'm really happy about it, man. So, yeah, that was real cool to see that in the Source.
Very cool, very cool. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time and chilling with us on Down with the Kings. For listeners that want to connect with you or hear your stuff, where can we send them?
Well, you can check me out. I'm on Facebook. I got my government on Facebook, Rob Frazier. Or you can type in Chill Rob G. I got Chill Rob G up there. Or I'm on Twitter, man, Chill Rob. I'm on Instagram, Chill Rob G. I'm out here.
There you go. I like that.
I'm out here.
I like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, my man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.